Live from The Rock, welcome to the Brown Sports Convos Podcast. My name is Samuel Rhee, and with me...
I'm Ethan Jobson.
I'm David Cody.
And I'm TJ Kim.
And it is so good to be back. We have a lot to talk about, so... You know, it's been a while since our last pod. We'll just get right into the topics with The Riff, our segment where we introduce various topics from around sports that have caught our fancy. So who wants to start with that?
Me and TJ can start because we're both kind of on the same wavelength here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about quarterbacks. The National Football League has this year a very interesting situation in that there's a lot of very, very, very good quarterbacks up for grabs in free agency or just in general. So that's going to be interesting to talk about.
Yeah, a lot of quarterbacks. Really, for the first time in a long time, we've seen as many quarterbacks who can start as there are teams who need starting quarterbacks. And a lot of quarterbacks in the open market without teams right now. Not right now, but when the league year starts, presumably. So we're really excited to see how that plays out.
And so I wanted to talk about baseball. I think there are about three teams I'm kind of keying in on. One, you can't talk about the baseball season without the Astros and how their situation might go beyond just whether they're contending or not. But how will it have an effect on how they do contend on the field? The Yankees, with their addition of Gerrit Cole, seem primed as ever to make a run for a championship, but they still have the same health concerns they've been having. And the Dodgers, with their acquisitions, but their struggles in the playoffs. What's going to come out of that? Or is it going to come from somewhere else in the league, maybe?
And as is tradition, I would like to talk about the NBA. We haven't really spoken about it since All-Star Weekend happened, since the trade deadline happened, and so many things have happened since then. The Clippers have a sort of renewed bench, adding, I believe, Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson. The Celtics have been on a tear. God bless. And, you know, there are a couple of other teams that have made some moves, have not made some moves. What comes to mind in particular are the Timberwolves, who traded for D'Angelo Russell. And this is all not to mention my favorite baby superstar, Jason Tatum, who is...
How old is he?
He's 21 years
old.
He's
only 21?
He is only 21 years old,
dude,
David.
Dude, I'm 21.
I think he turns 22 soon.
Yeah, but he's 21 right now with a child. He has been a top five player in the league over the past month, and I would like to talk about that as well.
All right. I'm feeling the NBA right now. I don't know about you guys, but...
I'm almost feeling the NBA.
We can talk about some ball.
Yo, NBA's great. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so in the NBA, like I mentioned, we have the Boston Celtics. So to kind of contextualize this, the best team in the league by a large margin are the Milwaukee Bucks with reigning MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, who apparently is no skill, all 7 foot dribble and dunk, according to James Harden. But the Bucks have lost 8 games out of the 59 that they've played.
Yeah, people talk about the 40-20 threshold to be a contender. They've beaten the 50-10 threshold.
It's ridiculous.
They're still in contention for the wins record.
They are. Yeah, if they win out, right?
Yeah, the Warriors only lost 9 games that season that they won 73.
They can even drop one and still...
And still tie.
Yep.
They got it.
I mean, there have only been 3 teams or... Yeah, I think two teams in NBA history to win 70 games or more. So that would be a rarefied company. And I feel like people aren't really talking about the Bucks in the sense that, like, they're really good.
Yeah, I mean, small market team, not a whole lot of, like, star power outside of Giannis.
Right.
It's just a really, really good basketball team.
And comparing them to the rest of the Eastern Conference, like, they are far and away way more dominant in their conference than the Lakers are in theirs. I think that the Lakers have a lot more competition in terms of, like, contending for the first seed. I don't think anyone's, like, even coming close to the Bucks. I think in the East, it's a race for second right now.
Yeah, it's the Raptors in second right now.
Yeah, and the Celtics a game behind the Raptors. Yeah. They would have tied them if they beat the Rockets last night, and that was a very sad game to watch. But, yeah, I mean, in the West, you have the Lakers, you got the Nuggets and the Clippers tied for second, and they're not very far behind. They're only, like, 5.5 games behind. The Clippers have been, like, really good since the trade deadline as well. They're on a 3-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen more Kawhi, more Paul George, and relevantly, I think, is that they've been able to sort of bolster up the bench behind Patrick Beverley, behind all these guys who, behind Lou Williams especially, who's been carrying the bench for the entire season. Like, this has been his role on the Clippers since, like, as long as I can remember. But, you know, if you want to be contending for a championship, just having Lou Williams off the bench isn't necessarily enough. So they added Marcus Morris as another scorer.
Mm-hmm.
They added Reggie Jackson as an actual point guard off of the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Reggie Jackson, not the best starting point guard in the league, but I think that he's among the best bench point guards now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think when you have as many ball handlers as you do in the starting line, as well as Lou Williams can handle the ball off the bench, like, the point guard position really comes down to, can you play defense?
Right.
And they certainly have Patrick Beverley. So the other thing that I love seeing from the Clippers, I love Montrezl Harrell.
Yes.
He's one of my favorite players in the league. Watching him, he's 6'7". But he just happens to be really good at all the things centers are good at. Like, he's not crazy athletic.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about him that makes up the size. He just happens to be an incredible rebounder, like, inside scorer.
Watching Montrezl Harrell jump for rebounds is, like, an ethereal experience.
Yeah, and he pairs really well with Lou Williams.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the strongest bench duos that we have in the league.
Yeah, it would be a dream to end up seeing that Western Conference final series with the Lakers. It's a question of whether or not the Nuggets will spoil that or the Rockets will spoil that.
Yeah, I don't think that we can sleep on the Rockets. You know, they started the season really rough, but I kind of, before the season, I talked about how I thought the Westbrook and Harden pairing would outperform people's expectations. And I think that the last couple of months have, like, rewarded me for that take. Westbrook has been really, really good. I think, like, low-key so, in the sense that he's scoring a lot. Basically what D'Antoni did when they traded away every last one of their centers.
Capella's
gone. I didn't think that he was touchable. He's gone. They don't have a man over 6'10" on the roster, and, like, in their rotation they don't have anyone over 6'9". Yeah, what they've done is they basically gave the Harden role to Westbrook and said, hey, Westbrook, here's four shooters, one of whom is James Harden. Do your thing. Drive and kick it to whoever the hell you want to pass it to. It's like, it's such an interesting look for a team that, like, is basically Rockets on speed, you know? It's what D'Antoni has been leading his whole career up to.
Right.
It's a little bit of playground ball, almost. I feel like it's kind of just... Yeah. You know, get the people who are the best, you know, best shooters, and just kind of have them do their thing.
Yeah,
right.
It's positionless basketball.
One of the concerns that I've seen brought up a lot is that without this depth at big man, how are you going to sort of outlast teams with, like, with size, actually,
right,
who can bully you in the paint a little bit and make you suffer for not having that size there. But PJ Tucker has shown himself willing and capable of living up to that role.
Yeah.
This, I think, is especially relevant when we see the Rockets match up with the Jazz with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
The Rockets never lose to the Jazz. It's actually wild.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that could be partially because so much of what Rudy Gobert does is on the defensive end.
Right.
And if you just don't take the ball down there and just stay on the perimeter, you can kind of nullify his
dominance. Gobert has led the lead in dunks for two seasons now or something.
Right.
So he's, like, really good at just being a big body in the paint. And, like,
he's a tower.
Off of pick and roll, he'll just dunk it every time. But, like, he can't do that against the Rockets. They're so good at sealing off that pick and roll action. Their defensive coordinator recently left the team prior to the start of this season, and I was kind of concerned that, like, they would lose out on that side of the court, but they really haven't. They've done a surprisingly good job of just, like, keeping up with rotations and keeping up with switches and beating out pick-and-roll action. I think it's been really impressive to watch from them.
Yeah, the Jazz were my underrated pick when we did underrated, overrated before the season on the pod. And I do wonder, are they being underrated? Because we kind of talked about the Nuggets as a possible spoiler, but are the Jazz in that conversation?
As the standings are looking right now, they would be playing the Rockets in the first round, and I don't think that's a matchup that they win easily.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. I could see the Jazz doing decently against a team like the Nuggets or a team like maybe even the Clippers, who I think which have shown some struggles against the Jazz's defensive scheme. But James Harden lost to the Jazz once, and I don't think that he like ever wants to lose to them again.
It's the strip club theorem, right?
Right. No strip clubs in Utah.
When he plays in Atlanta, he doesn't do too well.
Uh-huh.
When he plays in Utah, he does well. This is a legitimate thing for those of you who don't know. There is statistics to back this up, like the correlation of like the ratings of strip clubs in cities versus how well James Harden does.
Right. I think if the 4-5 matchup in the playoffs is anyway. The Rockets and the Jazz. No, but going off of that point almost, I think if the 4-5 matchup is the Rockets and the Jazz, whatever order it's in, I think the Rockets beat the Jazz in the playoffs. I just think it's a bad matchup for the Jazz for whatever reason. It's kind of interesting to watch sometimes.
Yeah, I think also the things that get kind of lost in this talk is the fact that the Rockets have James Harden and Russell Westbrook
on the same basketball team. Russell Westbrook has forced himself into the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
James Harden was a top three candidate all season, and then out of nowhere, Russell Westbrook said, "Did you forget about me?"
Yeah.
People are, like, crying, why isn't Westbrook, like, being talked about more? Because, like, the top five right now is some mix of LeBron, Giannis, Harden, and then, like, maybe Anthony Davis, maybe Luka Doncic, and now Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Westbrook, this role was what was needed for the team, and that Westbrook was never going to work as a shooter. I think his three-point percentage is even worse than it usually is, which is pretty bad.
And it was never good.
So you had to kind of use his like athleticism and talents to kind of make up for the lack of a big.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting how I feel Harden has kind of been able to evolve throughout his career. There was that year of point Harden, and then he later became the focal point of the team, and now he's still, he's in the MVP conversation. You can't underrate that, but kind of being the shooting guard type on this team.
He's become like a secondary playmaker, which is really weird coming off of the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One last thing that's itching on my mind about the NBA. There is this square man named Zion Williamson.
He's back.
Who has started playing and has done a lot of the jumping.
Mm-hmm.
He's done several slam dunks.
His walk certainly looks different.
It does. And he's put up 20 in each of the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Do the Pelicans have a push? They're sitting at 9 right now.
Yeah.
They'll have to get past Ja Morant and the Grizzlies if they want to do that.
Yeah, they're 2.5 games behind the Grizzlies. I don't think that the Mavericks are going to fall out of 7.
Next one up is OKC.
Right, so it's them or the Grizzlies, I think. Or maybe the Spurs. The Spurs aren't too far behind either.
Right.
The Grizzlies are really good for what they are.
Yeah.
They're really good. Ja Morant is like probably the rookie of the year, despite Zion doing so well.
Right.
Because he's just been doing it all season.
Yeah, because Zion's only played like
a
season.
Right. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. has improved a lot, and the Grizzlies just have like a good squad.
They have a huge future.
Right. It's so wild. People were talking about like, you know, you can't trade Conley and Gasol for assets, and then they did this offseason. Uh-huh. They traded Gasol or Conley for assets, and they got a couple of picks for Gasol, and like they're turning it into something. This is an actual franchise.
Yeah,
I mean, we could see something kind of very Bucks like coming out of here. This another kind of smallish market,
right?
That drafts well, gets a few picks right, and then
I think Ja Morant really is like a point guard of the future. It's so impressive watching him sometimes. He has such mastery of these different plays already. The way that he handles pick and roll action, especially, like I think he's just got vision that you don't see from a lot of point guards like this early in their careers. It's like him and Luka Doncic that I've seen over the past few seasons that have been like so masterful of this. I think Ja Morant, like him alone, makes the Grizzlies prospects super bright, and even right now I think they have a pretty solid handle on the 8th seed. But we'll see. I think the Pelicans have definitely shown that they are a better team with Zion around. And Brandon Ingram is...
Brandon Ingram's kind of run into himself.
Yeah, he was an all-star this season. I think he fully deserved it. And, You know, he's grown into like a playmaker of his own type, which
yeah,
I didn't really expect from him.
And I also think that can't be underrated is Drew Holiday is one of the best kinds of players Zion could have been given.
Absolutely.
As a teammate to start his career.
To have point guards like Drew Holiday, like Lonzo Ball, who's yeah. like really good at what he does, and yeah. And Brandon Ingram bringing up the ball all the time, like. I think that's a really good environment for Zion. And even if it doesn't result in a playoff berth this season, I think we'll see good things out of the Pelicans going forward.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Speaking, sorry to switch topics, but speaking of small market teams versus big market teams,
hey.
Baseball is right around the corner. Spring training has already started. And the contenders are kind of the same teams that have been contenders the last few years.
It's almost like it's baseball.
Yeah, yeah. The Yankees are more than in the mix with the Gerrit Cole signing. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers are more than in the mix with the Mookie Betts trade.
Yeah.
And then the Astros are probably the biggest enigma.
They're in the biggest mix of all.
Yeah. Both in how much they win and how much they are attacked with baseballs for their cheating scandal.
Mm.
So I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, this is going to be one heck of a year for baseball. I mean, that sounds really dumb when I say it, but like...
No, okay. In all seriousness, though...
Come on, this is going to be one heck of a year for baseball.
that sounds real dumb, I understand.
In all like, seriousness, though... Having a Vegas over-under for the amount of times a team gets beaned.
That's insane.
It's probably the most, yes.
Like it's
going
to be very interesting.
Most ridiculous things I've ever, yes.
Yeah, like yeah. The Astros and like, you know, will they survive the season?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many players will be drilled by a baseball this right. season?
You know, it's like, will the Yankees super team and or the Dodgers slightly less super team, like, actually be able to do something or
mm-hmm. yeah
will
I feel,
they or will the, or will they just kind of be very good on paper again?
It seems like the trend that baseball has been going to for the last few years is Yankees versus Dodgers for the World Series. Feels like every year we're getting close to that and like yeah. something happens to screw that up. The Yankees kind of still have some of those same concerns with health, like Luis Severino is out for the year for the millionth time in a row. Giancarlo Stanton, his health has been a mess. I do think though that Gerrit Cole is a very changes a lot of what they do. I think they're always relied on their lineup, and I think their rotation was always, even though they had some solid guys there, it always was a bit the weak spot. And having Gerrit Cole is something you can't underrate, given what he was able to do in the playoffs last year, and just who he is as a pitcher.
Yeah. Well, all I know is Mookie Betts got traded to the Dodgers.
That's true.
And that's another thing is the AL East feels a little bit more wide open for the Yankees this year. Although the Red Sox weren't doing very well last year either. The Rays, not to be a homer, but the Rays had a pretty decent offseason, I'd say. They've been having a pretty good spring training. I think if there were any team that could put a dent in that storyline of the Yankees,
yeah.
it might be the Rays.
Yeah.
But I think also there's a very good chance I think both teams get to the playoffs, given that I think they both have a lot of talent, and I don't think there are a lot of AL teams I can think of, especially with like the weirdness with the Astros that are right. like really made big moves and are knocking on that door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. I think it's hard to predict anything with the MLB playoffs.
Right.
I gotta say, I really want to see what happens with the Astros. I feel it could be anything between just like bottoming out like the Warriors have been in basketball, mm-hmm. or just being where they have been and being making it all the more intense once they if they're in contention with these teams that right. have beef with them.
Right.
And by these teams, I mean all the teams.
Yeah, yeah.
Every other team in baseball has beef with the Astros
I really hope cooler heads prevail and baseballs aren't thrown at human beings. I think it's, as a Patriots fan, extremely happy this Astros cheating scandal has happened. Very much enjoying all of this and reveling in my now dislike for the Astros. This is really fun. I see why you guys do it with the Patriots. But another question that's coming to mind is there anyone who's in the way of the Dodgers in the NL, if anyone?
The Nationals.
Because I don't know the answer.
Nationals still have that core with Strasburg and everyone. The Phillies, they kind of underperformed last year, but with Harper and then hiring Joe Maddon, I think they should have high hopes.
Is it reasonable to assume a jump in year two for Harper after?
You almost think they have to. It's like they have too much talent and too much. Too much invested to keep underperforming as much as they have. But whether that amounts to what they want, if that amounts to stopping the Dodgers, that's hard to predict. Yeah. I think it's also the Dodgers also, like, they've adding Betts is important, but just adding someone to the lineup in baseball is just like so different than adding a star in another sport. It's probably the argument the Red Sox used in trading Betts. Like, would I be shocked even if the Red Sox had a bit of a bounce back year even without Betts? It's certainly possible.
Yeah, because a player only bats, what, you know, like one ninth of the time. Yeah.
And think about it, like, the best hitters in baseball only get on base, like, what, like 10% more or then, like, some pretty bad at hitters. Right. It's a cop-out to just say, like, oh, baseball is hard to predict. But I would say that I think there is a lot of unpredictability surrounding. I almost think, though, that, like, baseball is very much about, like, maximizing the chances of outcomes happening. And that's why I feel the Yankees and Dodgers have been primed for years. There are years that if things had broken right, they would get to the promised land. You almost feel like at some point things have to break so that two really talented teams make it to the World Series. And that's my kind of my mindset going in.
You know, I hope nothing but the best for the Yankees because that town has the Knicks. And
it's been a tough. It's been a tough. Like, it has not been a good stretch for them. Decade for New York sports. Our last title was Giants over the Patriots the last time, right?
2011. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
It certainly was.
Yeah, the New York teams have not been great just in general. The Mets made the World Series.
Yeah,
one time.
That was weird.
Yeah, but that was kind of it. No titles.
Wow, there are so many teams in New York.
And they're not.
And none of them win.
Okay, they have at least two teams in each of the major sports.
Yeah.
And soccer.
They do have soccer. Red Bull.
The New York Red Bull, the NYCFC. Oh, the three hockey teams, two basketball teams.
I don't follow the MLS. I don't think so.
Three hockey teams includes the New Jersey Devils.
Includes the New Jersey Devils. Yeah, they're in the New York.
It's pretty much. I mean, the Jets are in New Jersey. So
The Brooklyn Nets used to be in New Jersey.
Yeah, they used to be the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, because they used to be in New Jersey.
And now they're in this fabulous new stadium in Brooklyn.
Speaking of Jets, do you want to move on to football quest?
Football. Yes, let's talk about that football.
This
season is once again a crazy season for football, as I said before.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we've got, what are some of the names we've got? We've got Philip Rivers.
Uh-huh.
We have Drew Brees, who's up for grabs.
Tony Romo just signed that.
Tony Romo's on a massive contract with CBS.
Dude, he's a way better broadcaster than he was a quarterback.
I mean,
he deserves to be paid as such.
Exactly. I mean, come on. Also, think about it. You know,
he's probably doing more for the Cowboys now.
Yeah, he's probably doing more for the Cowboys. He's reading defenses better than he ever has before.
Speaking of the Cowboys,
he hasn't been injured yet.
What do we think of all this talk about Cowboys moving on from Dak Prescott?
I don't know. I think a lot of these teams, like Cowboys, even the Raiders, who have quarterbacks who are not bad. They don't need a new quarterback. They might need some other things. They don't need a quarterback. Right. I don't think they should be going crazy. It's like, oh, you know, if we go get one of these Hall of Famers, then we'll be set. And like, I don't think that's what they should be doing. I think they should be going for building their team in other places where they need to be built up. Granted, I can totally see Jerry Jones being, you know, I want Tom Brady because...
Right.
I think, you know, Tom Brady's, if he went to the Cowboys, that'd be such a mistake. I think that'd go...
Oh my God.
I think that'd be remembered about as well as Bill Parcells' stint with the Cowboys.
I don't know if they could afford Tom Brady. Just flat out.
Well, you know, just in the tradition of like bad team owners, I don't think the Cowboys deserve Dak Prescott, but like, or Tom Brady.
No, they do not. Here's the thing. Tom Brady's not demanding a huge sack of cash right now.
What is Tom Brady demanding?
He's worth a lot, but he...
Do you want to know? I can explain it.
He doesn't need money. You know, he's not...
What are Tom Brady's demands?
He doesn't...
Take us inside his mind.
If you want to see Tom Brady again. what Tom Brady's basically looking for is weapons. What has been... I mean, Tom Brady isn't very public about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the news from his camp has been that Brady wants weapons. He wants to be able to throw to really good players and win games.
Mm.
He did a lot of winning games, but not a lot of throwing to good players this past season in New England. He is also looking to upgrade his salary. He wants to be paid like one of the top quarterbacks in the league, which he is, and he hasn't been paid like that in a long time. The expectation for him taking pay cuts in New England was that they would use the money to get weapons. They tried that this year. Antonio Brown was the attempt, and didn't work. So he's understandably frustrated with that. I think the Cowboys would be an attractive option for him. I don't know if financially that would work out. But Tom Brady, I think either the news was the Patriots had made an offer in the ballpark of $30 million for his salary, which would place him in the top tier of quarterback salaries. I, as a Patriots fan, I'm trying really hard not to think about Tom Brady too much.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of my own sanity and my own sleep, I am compartmentalizing this. It's one of those things that is just too monumental for me to spend a lot of time thinking about. So I'm not even, in my personal life, I'm not entertaining thoughts about will he stay, will he go, like whatever happens, happens.
If he goes, there will be trouble.
Right. If he stays, I don't know, we'll win a couple Super Bowls. The other thing to consider, though, is the collective bargaining agreement is up in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And that the specifics of that have been actually a barrier between him and the Patriots discussing specifics.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time we've had a major sports league have a lockout because of negotiations
over
not
NBA,
that
right?
Long ago.
Do you, what, there do was you NBA what year and the NBA NFL was?
Within this
NBA
last
was
decade.
There was an NHL too.
11.
No,
I'm almost sure it was 2011.
The NFL was definitely 2011.
I think they were both around the same time.
Yeah, the NFL, that was weird because it was through the whole offseason and all the free agent signings happened in early August.
Yes, I remember that.
Right. It was the summer before the 2011-2012 season.
Yes,
that's right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because I remember it off of the Thunder went to the finals that year and everyone was really weird about it. But,
huh.
Yeah.
And I remember Darren Williams had his number retired by the Turkish team he played for after like 7 games.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
that was pretty much the end. Like, that was the swan song after that for his career.
You know who I miss? I miss Lance Stephenson.
Oh, yeah,
I do too.
Yeah. Let's remember some guys.
Let's just talk about people who used to play these sports that we like.
Yeah, remember Michael Kidd-Gilchrist?
Oh my God. I think he's still in the league somewhere.
I think he's still in Charlotte.
Is he not still in Charlotte?
Guy who's still in the league who feels like he should be out of the league.
It's felt like he should have been out of the league a long time ago, but... Oh, he's not on the Hornets roster.
Really?
Hang on. All right. No, we got to find
this. That's where he lives, though, in my head. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist on the Charlotte Bobcats.
I mean...
Charlotte Bobcats.
Celtic.
Yes.
Oh, my God. The Charlotte Bobcats. Oh, he's on the Mavericks. He got bought out.
Wow. Oh, he did. That's right. I remember hearing that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for Luka Doncic to transform his career, I guess.
Dude, that would be my favorite storyline ever. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, like, becoming an all-star in Dallas.
Speaking of transforming careers, though, just to get back on topic.
To football. Yeah,
just a little bit. So let's assume
let's
Brady
assume
leaves.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist,
let's assume Brady leaves and breaks David's heart.
Yeah.
We were talking about this a little before the podcast started. What would you think of? You think that the Patriots want to get someone in free agency rather than go with like Jarrett Stidham or some like someone random on their roster?
You know who would be good for the Patriots?
I don't appreciate the amount of sauce you just said Jarrett Stidham with.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
don't.
But the person I think I would go to in my mind is Marcus Mariota. What would you think about him in a Belichick
uniform? Belichick uniform.
Yes, New England Belichick.
No, if Brady leaves, they will rebrand into the New England Belichicks.
I think I personally would love to see Marcus Mariota in New England, especially given the fact that we are going to have Josh McDaniels for one more year drawing up plays, and the way Bill Belichick has been able to use a lot of players in ways that help them succeed. Mm-hmm. Has been really special. Like, he's had a ton of guys virtually, I mean, revive their careers in New England with a ton of talent just because he's allowed them to be used in ways that allow them to succeed. I think of even, like, the obvious cases are Randy Moss and Corey Dillon, but mm-hmm. I think of even, like, Philip Dorsett has been a productive member of an offense after busting in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Or Jabal Sheard after busting in Cleveland, being a great defensive end for the Patriots. So I think it would be weird to look at that, try to play out at the quarterback position. I think it could happen. Mm-hmm. I love the talent that Marcus Mariota brings. I love the presence that Marcus Mariota brings, that he was able to be benched in the middle of a season and still be a contributing member to that team.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be interesting. I'd also think would be interested to see if his draft class partner Jameis Winston hits the free agent market.
Yeah, I thought about both of them, actually. I think both would be interesting. I think it seems like Jameis might go back to the Bucks, though. In terms of there's a whole meme that I think they might even partially be using it as an excuse, as the eye surgery is going to turn him into the MVP.
It was all
that he couldn't see right.
He couldn't see the jerseys.
We figured it out.
He threw 60 touchdowns.
I think a great candidate for New England is Teddy Bridgewater. I think
he's another one in that.
If Brady leaves, I really hope the Patriots get him.
Yeah.
And I guess that would, by extension, mean that Drew Brees stays in New Orleans.
Right, which I think the understanding is that's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and although what may also end up happening is that the Saints may think, oh, hey, we have a nice quarterback. We have a nice young quarterback who can play, and we have an old quarterback who will be better for a little bit. But maybe we should hold on to that second string. And, you know, just because eventually we're going to need to move on, and it'd be nice to have someone right there.
I kind of feel that rather, like, I would think of the Patriots. I think of the Patriots going with one of these guys more than a Philip Rivers type, who I think might be a better fit for someone like the Colts, who, like, feel they're closer to contention and more, like, in win now mode.
Do we buy the Philip Rivers to the Colts?
I think it could happen. I could see it. I could definitely see it as well.
I think it's pretty reasonable.
But yeah, I think with the Patriots, I think that
I don't think I,
the whole situation now, I almost think of it as this kind of like two huge personalities with Belichick and Brady. And I think I just have this idea that it's in the back of their minds. Like, there's always been the question of, is it Brady or Belichick more responsible for the Patriots dynasty? And I think both of them had realized that they're both contributors enough that they have, realize it's in their best interest to stay together up to this point. But I just wonder if that will last. And I think I can't imagine that there isn't a thought in Belichick's head that if he can make one of these kind of semi-reclamation projects happen and develop them as the Patriots' future, that might cement his legacy more than anything.
Mm. Well, I think Brady realizes now that he has maybe 2 years max left, mm-hmm. and he is not going to wait around for some project to turn out. He wants to be certain that he will have all the help he needs, and he will not have to worry about anyone else but himself.
The thing is, where would he find that, though? Like, beyond like the Colts is like the obvious one I can think of that has some weapons.
Brady,
like,
on the Colts.
Wouldn't that be something?
Not even going to pick
it. but I think that might be the one thing that makes me think that maybe this just ends up being a nothing burger. Is like, I think it's pretty safe to say at this point that he's considering all his options, but like, where is a better option?
Right. That's
the Giants from like 5 years ago.
that's what comforts me thinking about this a little bit, is if you look around the league, he wants a team that can compete, in a team that can win, in a team that can build around him.
And that doesn't have a quarterback.
In a team that has good coaching. Like, New England has the best coaching staff in the NFL. New England pretty much had the best defense in the NFL last year.
I think they did have the best defense in the NFL.
I think they did. I think the Niners have a case, but I think the Patriots were just too dominant. I think as far as weapons, that's a little iffy. I think he has guys he trusts, though, and I think that's always been huge with Tom Brady. So he has, when he's able to throw to a James White or a Julian Edelman, and maybe Nikhil develops, maybe Mohamed Sanu catches on. Mm-hmm. I think there's potential there. So I think all things considered, like, does he want to play for Mike McCarthy in Dallas? Mm-hmm. Does he want to really go to Indianapolis? Like, does he want to go to San Diego? Shh. They don't even play in San Diego. Does he want to go to Los Angeles? Maybe, but who knows? So I don't even think Brady knows is the other thing. I don't think Brady knows at this point where he wants to go. So it's kind of foolish to try to guess what he wants. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on that note, do we want to transition to the 2 cent finish?
Yeah, let's go there. Yeah.
So yes, this is our 2 cent finish, the segment where each of us gets a little bit of time to get stuff off our chest, you know, talk, monologue, you know, evil laughter about whatever it is in sports that's on our mind. So, who would like to start?
I would like to go last.
All right. I can go first, because I want to talk about Jason Tatum. Woo, boy! Jason Tatum! I recall a lot of buzz around his draft class regarding the Celtics trading down from the first pick and allowing the Sixers to take Markelle Fultz, and then the Celtics taking Tatum. And a lot of the discourse around that time was that was a bad move, that Fultz was far and away the best in that draft, and that you weren't even coming close with the undeveloped, unsure Jason Tatum. He had a fantastic rookie season, and then his follow-up season was, you know, it wasn't worse, but it wasn't that much better, and people were not very optimistic about what Tatum had to offer. This season, it was a little bit up and down for the beginning. Kemba Walker was still sort of settling in, Hayward was still in and out of the rotation, and Smart was not always there to batten down the hatches. But for the month of February, Jason Tatum has been averaging over 31 points per game. The last time he scored under 25 was before the All-Star break, when he scored 15 against the Rockets, I believe. And since then, he's matched his career high with the 41-point game performance against the Lakers. A game in which the Celtics were robbed, by the way. He also had a really bad showing, honestly, against the Rockets last night. But he still scored something like 33 points. And they came within a point of winning that game off of a Jaylen Brown buzzer beater to send them to overtime. Jason Tatum has just been all around. Over the month of February, like I said at the top, he has been a top five player in the NBA. That's just without a question. His statistics have supported this in every way. He is one of the best scorers in the league already. I think that he's probably, like, in terms of offensive ability, he's, like, top three in the league right now. And he's shown on the defensive end a willingness and an ability to guard multiple positions, to do so with gusto and make game-winning plays. He had a play against the Hawks the other day where he and Marcus Smart just, like, were shutting down Trae Young. Like, he could not move. It's been really impressive to watch Tatum's development, and I think that he's developed into a legitimate future MVP candidate, without a doubt. I think that he's silenced a lot of the doubts about his ability to improve past his rookie season. But beyond that, I think that he's in the conversation for one of the best players in the league right now and might be that star that the Celtics need to have a legitimate shot in the playoffs.
Nice.
All right. Yeah, all right. Go next. All right. I guess I'll go next because I opened my mouth first. I just want to say that, like, man, what is wrong with the Washington Wizards? I said this before. I've done this one before, but it continues to be true.
What do you mean? Bradley Beal is scoring all the points. Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal!
Unlike some of their, I mean, you know, maybe there's a few more chapters left in the story, but unlike some of the other Washington teams who, you know, kind of looked hopeless and were very, very bumbling for a long time, they kind of redeemed themselves, you know, like the Capitals and the Nationals, mm-hmm. both kind of had this kind of gritty sort of, you know, maybe we didn't get it done when everyone thought we were going to get it done, but eventually we did.
Yeah.
The Wizards just kind of never really got it together.
I mean, they're a top 10 offense in the league right now. They're just the worst defense in the league as well.
Let's be real. the Cowboys were the number one offense in the league last year in football. In every category except for points scored.
That's great.
So
that's phenomenal.
I don't know. I wish they could do better, but honestly, I think it's kind of over. I don't think it's going to happen.
So what does over mean in this case?
I think
move on from Jay Wall.
Wall's done.
I just think that they're not going to contend with the current group. Maybe they get rid of a lot of people. Maybe Bradley Beal stays, and just the next iteration will make it happen. But I think that it's not meant to be, and it's not going to happen with these guys. And it's very sad, but it's okay.
I mean, if I can comment on it a little bit, I think that a lot of times the teams in the NBA that have found themselves in this position over the past, you know, decade or so have, like, gotten out of it with smart asset collection and smart drafting, and the Wizards have shown a capacity for neither of those skills.
Yeah.
Right? Rui Hachimura might be good.
Yeah, I hope he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what other team I think could end up in this position very, very quickly? Who's that? The Sixers. That's my real two-set finish that I just came up with right now. Is that the process is we are currently at the end, the final stop in the process.
Oh my god.
And
the spice.
That is my take, is that this is what it has come to. Ben Simmons will leave for some fancy team.
Joel Embiid has been invited to Miami personally by Jimmy Butler.
Wow. maybe Embiid and Giannis will team up in a couple years somewhere else. Oh my god,
that would be ridiculous.
Maybe Ben Simmons will go to the Warriors. who knows? and the Sixers will be sad.
Yeah.
Once again, they made the playoffs a couple times, and that was what they got for tanking for, like, however many years.
I mean, reports out of Philly make it seem like Simmons is not going to be back this season, so
yeah,
I would not be optimistic about the playoffs either.
Unless they, you know, process some more and just, you know, and fetch Simmons for a couple
Hey, this man,
does that mean fire Brett Brown?
Oh, fire Brett Brown is like that's, it's been a few seasons fire of fire Brett Brown. Hey, they got this new guy, this new kid, Shake Milton, though, and he's been doing really well.
Shake Milton has
that's a good name.
If I may, top five name of all time.
That is an excellent name.
It's Shake Milton and Smoke Monday are the two best, worst names I've ever heard.
More than Taco Fall?
Taco Fall's pretty good.
Also. I love Taco Fall.
We love Taco.
I still like Taco Charles.
What you got, Ethan?
Ethan.
All right. So I think you could even kind of detect it here, but if you haven't been aware, baseball baseball's popularity is not what it once was.
What are you talking about? I love baseball.
I get shit on by my friends for liking baseball. I get shit on here for liking baseball. It's a tough world here for baseball fans right now. And I kind of want to push back a little on the perception of baseball. Because I think people focus a little in on the downfalls of baseball. And I think I also noticed the whole, wait, what's going on?
Okay, so speaking of Shake Milton,
they're currently playing as
torching the Clippers right now.
So wait, okay.
Shake Milton, he had 11 points. Shake Milton is 5 for 5. He's got 11 points in 9 minutes.
What the hell?
We were talking about it. I was like, I wonder how Shake Milton's doing. So I saw him trending on Twitter. I was like, what is going on?
Wow.
I feel like that happens way so much. You're talking about something like,
yeah,
that's the way the world works, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Brown21 said Hutt did a podcast about Antonio Brown fully like 5 minutes after AB got released by the Raiders. And then like 3 hours before the Pats signed him.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you
with
that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Actually, that goes into my point a little bit in that baseball can produce these unknown heroes. Baseball is all about unpredictability. Mm-hmm. Everything is kind of, there's a lot of luck involved with baseball. I think it might make some people not like it, but I think can make it really exciting. I think baseball has, I was really annoyed by the proposal of the new format, because I think baseball, one thing it has going for it is like one of the best playoff formats in all of major sports.
Even the wild card game?
No, the wild card game, wild card game is the one black mark on what was already perfect, and it's getting slightly less perfect. This new change would make it even worse. But I think there's a beauty to baseball that I don't think people realize, which is like that I think the biggest thing is the way it can be mano-a-mano, and that you don't have a basketball game and a basketball game can't potentially end, as much as I love basketball, with Kawhi having to stop Clay, Curry, and Durant in their prime, one-on-one, 3 times in a row. That can happen in baseball. There's so much about baseball. The way that if you have a man on first with 2 outs in the ninth, when the ball comes off the bat, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. It could be a double that will, and maybe the team batting is down one run. It could be a double that scores the guy that ties the game. It could be a home run that wins the game, or it could be a fantastic catch that ends the game. You don't see that kind of unpredictability in other sports. I just think that I understand there are downfalls to baseball, but I think there are upsides as well. And I'd say if you want to get into it, maybe you can just use the excuse of the weird stuff going on with the Astros and like the, and then, but maybe stay a little and at least give a shot to the good stuff that baseball can bring.
And this summer baseball, just the way you're talking about it, the Olympics. There will be baseball played at the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo this year. Baseball, really cool. If any of you want to watch a sport where it's both international and the U.S. is pretty good, but it's also really competitive, unlike basketball, then watch baseball. There's going to be some great games. We're going to have the Dominican Republic, Cuba, USA. Puerto Rico doesn't play separately in the Olympics, but they do play separately in the World Cup of Baseball. But never mind. Korea, Japan. Korea-Japan game in Japan will be the greatest rivalry game you've ever seen in the Olympics.
I actually have to watch that. That seems like peak television.
Like, okay, you think like Canada-USA hockey is big. No, this will be much bigger than that.
Korea-Japan baseball? Wow.
Baseball.
Korean baseball is just a separate experience. But in support of your point really quick, Ethan, I think the NBA has been trying to sort of capture the magic of like baseball endings. They reconfigured the All-Star game. And they incorporated what's known as the Elam ending, where for the last period, they give you a target score based on the score of the leading team. And like whoever reaches that score first wins the game. So it's not a set time.
Ethan had this look on his face. He looks absolutely terrified.
So this is how the basketball tournament did it, which was like that one. Was it 3-on-3? But it was like a 3-on-3 basketball tournament or something.
I think it's 5-on-5.
Okay, it might have been 5-on-5, but it was like like Greg Oden was there.
That's always very fun.
Yeah, that's another thing that's good about baseball is you're kind of touching on it. You have to actually win the game. You have to complete it. It's not about There are no boring endings like the NBA. And I like the NBA. I like all sports. I just think baseball gets an unfair rap for...
No, I think baseball endings are definitely way better than basketball endings, like half of the time. Mm. The other half of the time, it's like there's 5 seconds left and Derek Fisher... Or there's 0.4 seconds left and Derek Fisher makes like a stupid three-point shot.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I totally agree with that point.
Yeah. All right. So I do want to give my 2 cent finish on a little bit more of a serious note. So today's kind of a day for me because a year ago my grandfather passed away. Today, and we were very close. And the last thing he was really someone that I got a lot of my love for football from. Since I was little. And the last thing I ever did with him was I watched a AAF game. Rest in peace, AAF. So I guess today's been kind of a day to remember him and also to recognize the importance of sports beyond sports itself. I know it's cliche to say that like sports brings people together, but it really does. It's a great communal thing that everyone can enjoy, and it really does impact people a lot beyond the final score of every game. So I just want to take that time to say, appreciate the people you have in your life, appreciate sports, and never feel like it's ridiculous, 'cause it's not. So yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. I think that finish worth a little more than 2 cents, Dave.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it from us. Thank you all so much for listening. We are on Twitter at BRN Sports Combos. We have a new website now, or a new domain now.
We do. Do you know it?
It's brownsportsconvos.herokuapp.com. So that's our new website. Look for our stuff there. And we will be back with more content whenever we are capable of producing it.
Yes, sir. As you know, Brown Sports Convos is a weekly sports podcast that happens sometimes.
Occasionally uploading weekly.
We will try to get more content out.
Yeah.
You know, at a better time frame than we usually do.
Right. There's so much sports happening that we will always have something to say. It's just a matter of when we say it. So
yeah, we've been saying things for a long time.
Right. Thank you very much for sticking with us through all of that. And yeah, we hope to see you sometime soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.